So, church, we're going to continue today with our theme, which is Stronger, Better Together, part 29 of 40. Unless the Lord returns or calls me home. So, in this theme, we are looking at who is Jesus? Who is this man that makes such radical claims that no one else has made, but shows who he is by his power and authority? Who is this man that heals the blind and they see? Who is this man that puts his hands on deaf ears and they hear? Who is this man that raises the lame that's been for 38 years on a mat and he says to them, get up and walk? Who is this man that comes to a coffin, touches the coffin, and the child is raised from dead? Who is this man that speaks from a distance and not just touches that person, but commands that person to be well, and at that very hour they become well? Who is this man who takes a few loaves and a few fish and feed 5,000 people? Who is this man that turns water into wine? This is the man that took Galilee by storm, that took Israel by storm. This is the man who is changing millions of people's lives every day. This is the man who today, 36,000 people will make a choice to follow him, to believe that he is the Son of God. This is the man who declared, if you want to see the Father, look at me and you can see the Father. This is the man that made claims, there is no other way to God, the Father, only through me. So we've looked in this little series of how Jesus performs mighty miracles. He forgives sins. He sets people free. Today we're not going to look at a miracle, but we're going to look at an account where Jesus explains very clearly who he is. Now, from Westerners, from our point of view, we've read the story and go, that's a nice story. That's good. But for the hearers, they're going to hear something very special about what Jesus says. They're going to understand exactly what he's saying he is. Now, the last time I spoke, when he fed the 5,000, people wanted to make him king because they realized exactly who he was. He showed exactly who he was, but Jesus would not allow them to do that because his time to become king was not yet. But in this story that we're going to read, the hearers and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day know exactly what Jesus is saying. So let's pick up the story in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 11, Jesus makes a couple of interesting comments here. This is what he says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate of the sheep. And whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. In other versions, it says abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus uses a number of phrases. First of all, he uses the word good shepherd. This is a time Jesus is going to be traveling to Jerusalem. It's a time of Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. This is a time when Jesus is on his way to die on a cross. When he uses this word, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Multitudes of people are listening to Jesus once again. There are crowds of people that are listening to his every word. Wherever Jesus went, crowds, thousands and thousands followed him. And Jesus uses this term, good shepherd and the gate. Now, the people that were following Jesus were already believing that he is the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one by God. And everything Jesus did, absolutely everything, was to prove exactly who he was. It was to prove that he was the promised Messiah. And he shows that in both power and authority over all kinds of sicknesses and over changing elements. So what happens here is the people are discussing in this culture about the good old days, the glory days. Remember the good old days? Were they ever that good? I don't know. They're thinking, do you know, when David was on the throne, King David and Solomon, we were a superpower. That small strip of land was a major superpower in David and Solomon's time. They were rich. They were wealthy. Everybody had to come through them to Israel to do trade. They're looking back to the good old days where the Messiah was supposed to come and to set them free from oppression and to give them an abundant life. And they're living in opposition, they're living in oppression, they're living in a place where it's a terrible place to live. They don't know if their women are going to get raped, they don't know if their children are going to get taken away, they don't know if the Roman soldiers are going to come and just put them on the cross. They're living in a broken world, a bit like us today, living in a broken world. And they're longing for someone to come and to change their situation. Someone that would rule and reign. Someone called the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One. That's what they're waiting for. What are you waiting for in life right now? What are you waiting? Are you waiting for something to change? Something to happen? For these people, Jesus was the answer. And for you and I, Jesus is still the answer to life. When David and Solomon had died, their children, grandchildren became bad shepherds. All they were interested in was themselves, their own agenda, accumulating wealth for themselves, making their life better. They weren't interested in the people. They were called false shepherds. They divided the nation. They turned the people away from God. And so in 722, the Assyrians came and took all the Jewish people away from their homeland. Apart from one tribe, Judah. And in that tribe, just a few people called the remnant that were able to continue to worship God in their own land. Everyone else was taken away because of the false bad shepherds that should have looked after them, but didn't. And the consequences of the bad shepherds were the sheep suffered and they were sent away. So at this time, the people are waiting for this time for the Anointed One to come. But I want to tell you that God has a much bigger plan than just creating a new nation or just restoring a nation. God's plans are eternal. And when God has a plan, it's not just about what you see now. It's about what will come afterwards too. His plan is so much bigger than what we always see. And God always had a plan for the Anointed One to come, not just to rule Israel, but to rule the whole world. And the Bible tells us this, that one day, every knee will bow at Jesus, this man who we're talking about today. One day when he returns, every nation will bow the knee. Every person will bow the knee, because the kingdom that is coming will be greater than anything else this world has ever seen. So the people are waiting for restoration of what was, but God's plan is for something so much more bigger. So we're going to look at the end of this verse where Jesus talks about abundance or life in the full. John 10 verse 11. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So Jesus describes his new kingdom. He used words that would be very familiar with his audience. He talks about himself being the good shepherd. Why does he use that term? This is the first time he's used this term about himself. And this is the reason. Because the people of Israel knew about the prophecy from Isaiah. And the prophecy from Isaiah that the people of Israel were waiting for was for a shepherd king. Do you see the link here? The anointed one, the promised one, was going to be a shepherd king. This is why Jesus introduces and talks about himself as the good shepherd. I am the shepherd king you are waiting for. And they link this to this prophecy and they understand what Jesus is saying. We might think, oh, why does he use that term? It's because they link it to the Messiah. They already know he's the Messiah, but now Jesus is reaffirming that to them. But then Jesus also uses this word, I'm the gate. What is the purpose of a gate? So this is winter time in this story. In winter time, the shepherds would lead their sheep to what they call a sheep pen. And it might be a cave behind and some brambles and some branches at the beginning, at the front. But there is no gate. And the reason there is no gate is because the good shepherd will lie in the gateway. And he does that because his sheep who are behind him, he will protect. No one's coming past him. No one's touching my sheep. The sheep that know my name, they belong to me. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to tend them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to provide for them. But I tell you what, no wild animal is getting past me. No thieves or robbers are coming through this gate. No entry. You're going to have to kill me to get to my sheep. Now, the people understood that. Jesus said, in my kingdom, when you're in my kingdom, no one touches my sheep. You don't get to my sheep in my kingdom. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness is ruled by Satan. Some people don't believe in Satan. He's a real being. We'll talk about him in a minute. I don't want to give him too much credit. I don't like to talk much about him. Don't care about him much. Don't like him at all. But the other kingdom is the kingdom of God that Jesus brings and ushers in and establish. And Jesus is talking about his new kingdom. And everybody that's in his kingdom, he will protect. He will provide. And he will give life to the full. And we're going to explore that a bit today. What does Jesus mean by that? And so as Jesus is addressing the crowds, he looks over to the Pharisees. You can be Pharisees over there. You can be the religious leaders. He looks over and he said, some of those people over there are not good shepherds. You see, they don't tend for you. They don't look after you. They don't provide for you. They don't love you. They'll use you for their own means, but they don't care about you. In fact, there's some people that come before me that pretended to be the Messiah, and they are false prophets. They are false shepherds. They're false teachers. But you're looking now at the real thing, the real deal. These are false. And you know, today we have a lot of false teachers, not these people over here, but we have a lot of false shepherds that pretend to be Christians, that pretend to care, but they don't, because they have their own agenda. We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. So, Jesus provides an image where he contrasts a good shepherd that looks after the sheep and bad shepherds who do not. And what Jesus does is he's telling them, if you want to be safe, if you want to be secure in life, if you want to not just survive, if you want to really live, you need to be in my sheep pen. You need to be in my fold. Because you'll never thrive or survive in the other kingdom. In fact, the ruler of that kingdom, not only will he try and bring you into his kingdom by telling you lies, but he will try to destroy you. He will try to fill you with fear. He'll try to fill you with guilt and anxiety and worry and concern. He'll try to tempt you to do all kinds of things in your life that you'll think, yeah, it's okay, just this once, and then you become guilty. You become full of guilt and shame for the one thing or the two things that you should have done, you shouldn't have done, but you've done because the enemy, the false shepherd, said it's okay. And you know it's wrong, but you do it. But what Jesus does is it provides a new way, a new life that you can live to the full. And today you might be carrying things that you don't want anybody else to know. You might be ashamed of things. You might be guilty, feeling guilt because of things. Nobody else knows, but you know. Actually, Jesus knows. And that is because bad shepherds have encouraged you to do things and you've done them. And now you're paying the consequence for that. But Jesus has come to set you free. When Jesus called leaders into his kingdom, he never said to them, come and follow me and you'll never have any more problems in your life. He doesn't do that. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, if you come into my sheep pen, you'll never have difficulties. You'll never lose loved ones. You'll never lose a job. You'll never go through sickness. He never says that. He doesn't give a pension scheme that will last forever. Although, if you follow Jesus, the rewards for following him are out of this world. If you get that. Many of his disciples that followed him died. They gave his life for the shepherd, for the sheep, for Jesus. That's not the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. We think, well, if we follow Jesus, all our problems will disappear. But Jesus says something different. He says these words in Luke chapter 9. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Is that the kind of abundant life that we want? To deny ourselves from all the things that we want to do, that we'd like to do? For all the things that this world offers us, is that the kind of thing, the abundant life we want? When Jesus says you've got to give it up. See, Jesus' plan is so much deeper. Jesus' plan will give us the real meaning of life because he's the creator of our life. He's the sustainer of our life. And he knows what we need, and that's why he came. I want to remind the Oasis family here that if we are going to be stronger, better together, the only way we will have the abundant life that Jesus has for us, so I'm talking to us that are part of this fellowship here, is that we choose to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow him. Because it's only in that process that we will really understand what freedom is about and living a life that Jesus has for us. I'm saddened sometimes when I turn on the TV and I watch certain TV channels, which I won't even give a name to because I'm embarrassed and ashamed of some of the stuff that I see. And it gives us as church a really bad reputation. And people will stand and say, well, if you invest in my ministry, if you give, whatever you give, God will give you back sevenfold. And you know what happens? They give money that I haven't got, that God's never asked them to do. Because they think if they don't, they're going to upset God. And God's not going to be pleased with them. And they give money and they're told they'll get money come back through the post seven times. And they wait for the post every day. No check comes. They get angry with God. They get angry with the church. And if that's what Christian's about, I'm not interested. That's not what Christianity is about. That's nothing what Jesus ever said. I want to tell you, and I'm openly will declare it, these are false shepherds. They are not good shepherds. And if you follow them, you will be hurt because their agenda is for themselves and to gain for themselves. God asks you to give something, yes, but don't be manipulated to give money that you haven't got. I have to say that and I apologise for those people publicly because they're not good shepherds. And I hope I am a good shepherd and under shepherd to Jesus. And I'm telling you, do not listen to them. Do not follow their teaching because it's all about them. What we need to do is look at who is this man Jesus and what he says. He's the person we follow. And if he asks us to do it, then we do it. And if he doesn't, we don't have to. Is that okay? So, what is this abundant life? Have we got this Greek word? I thought we put a Greek word up. Have we got it on the slide? They are, anybody read Greek? It says kebab. Perisson. Perisson is the Greek word, the life in its full, but it means abundant. It means super abundant. It actually means far superior. So when Jesus says, I've come to give you life that is more abundant, he says, I've come to give you a life that is far superior than you've ever experienced before. It's far greater. It's much more abundant than you can even imagine or dream. It's super abundant and superior. And what Jesus offers in your life and my life is something so far superior that this world can never give us and we can never experience unless we come through the gate and we come into the sheep pen through Jesus Christ. See, abundant living is about where we deny ourselves, we come to Jesus and we totally live for him. We totally devote our life to him. And he totally devotes his life to us. We have this beautiful relationship. Totally devoted to you. Don't know who sang that one, do you? Yeah, she's not with us anymore. Poor girl. The abundant life that Jesus gives us and that we can have is being totally devoted to Jesus, surrendering our lives, surrendering our wills, our desires, our dreams, and listening to what the Good Shepherd says. And as he leads us out and leads us in life, we follow him and we hear his voice and we know his voice. And when he speaks, we follow. And that's the only reason that we will get, or the only way we'll get an abundant life as God created us for. See, Jesus came to give us life, not just existence. I meet people that are just existing. They're just trying to get through the next, not even the next day, the next few hours. That's not the life that Jesus has for you and I. Do you believe that? Jesus has got a super abundant life for this church for us to live. But there is another false shepherd, and his name is Satan. And I want to tell you, there is a real devil. People say, oh, it's not real, is it? Yes, he's real. The Bible tells us that he is the ruler of this world. He is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. And so Jesus draws this line and says, in front of my sheep pen is a different kingdom to mine. And in that kingdom, you will feel guilty, you will feel anxious, there will be fear, there will be worry, there will be concern, there will be all these kind of things because the ruler of that world wants to destroy everything I have, everything that God has for you and I. And Jesus draws the line and says, from this gate, everything behind me is my kingdom. It's a new kingdom that I'm establishing and you're either in or you're out. And I don't want to be rude or disrespectful to anybody here, but you're either in one or two kingdoms, one or two camps. You're either in God's camp or you're in the devil's camp. Oh, no, I'm not. There are only two kingdoms, I'm sorry. You can be controlled by the ruler of the world, of darkness, or you can be led by a good shepherd that would love and tend and provide and protect you in the sheep pen. And the people realize this that are listening. They know what's happening to them. And many people understand Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. As Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no access to God the Father any other way. Not through any other religions. Not through any other person. The only way to know God the Father is through Jesus. You have to come through the gate, which is him. Jesus says this very clearly. The people understand this. And this church will preach this. While I'm here, this church will preach this. There is only one way to be saved, to know the Father, to be forgiven from your sins. That's through Jesus Christ. This is what we teach. and this church will remain strong, because that is the message that Jesus taught, not what other people taught. I'm going to be really quick. I'm going to try and move quickly. Luke chapter 12, 15 to 20. Now, sometimes we're attracted, we think abundance is about money. If we've got loads of money in the bank, we're okay. Jesus talks about money quite a lot. In fact, he talks about more about money than he does about sex in the Bible. Because money has this way of controlling us. We think we control it, but it actually comes to a point where we've got to work harder, we've got to have more. And when we have enough in the bank, then it's not enough and we need to have more. We need to accumulate material things around us. And we think if we're in God's blessing, we have so much money and so many things around us that God must be pleased with us. Jesus says this, church, beware. Oasis family, listen. Watch out, be on your guard against all kind of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You're not a better Christian if you've got more money than somebody else. You haven't made it in life if you have money in the bank. It's not about money. And he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? How much did he take with him when he died? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can live your life to accumulate so much stuff, but you will not take it with you when you leave this earth. The thing is about death. The thing is about funerals. You get a different perspective about things in life. The things that we've placed highly, when we lose somebody that we love, those things seem to change. They don't matter anymore. And God says, you fool. Do you know what? I don't need to say to me, Robin, you fool. It's about our heart. If there's anything that's controlling you, I tell you what, money will control you. Wealth will control you. It will destroy you if you allow it to become a God in your life. The only God you should have is the living God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So if abundance is not cash, it's not possessions or comfort, what is it? Bearing in mind that Jesus is in a circle, were persecuted, they died as martyrs. What kind of abundance did they receive? When Jesus speaks of abundance, he talks about the here and now, but he also talks about eternity. He talks about our eternal life. We are not just living on this earth. Something happens when we leave this earth. We go to a different place. And there are two places that we can go. We can go to a place that God has prepared for us to spend eternity with him, or we go to a place where we spend eternity without him. There are only two places that we will go when we leave. And so the abundance of life is for now. And like I've said before, there are maybe some people in this room, you are racked with guilt. You are anxious, you are fearful, you are afraid so much in this world that you live in. And that's because the prince and the power of the darkness of this kingdom is controlling you and manipulating you and driving you. But we can live today forgiven from our sins. We can have a fresh start. We all need fresh starts, every one of us in this room. We all make big mistakes. The kingdom, the life of abundance that Jesus brings, we have a fresh start. We can be forgiven from our sins. We can live a new life. We can be life without fear or condemnation or worry. And the icing on the cake is that when we do leave this earth, and one of us will leave this earth at some point, we can have a hope and a future that only Jesus can give. But if you want that, you have to come through the gate into the sheep pen. You have to come under his protection. Because outside of the sheep gate, he won't protect you. He might do, but the protection is inside. Does that make sense? So I want to say to you today, I unashamedly apologize for those people that have told and been bad shepherds and told lies to the sheep. And I unashamedly say to you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for you. If you're not in the sheep pen, please, please, please don't stay outside. Come in through the gate and accept Jesus Christ as the man who says he is the Son of God. He is the promised one. He is the anointed one. He's the one that can forgive you from your sins. He's the one that can give you a fresh start. He can change everything for you today. If you want to stay where you are, stay where you are. But if you want something different, today is the day of salvation, where you can be saved and have a new hope. Would you just close your eyes for a minute and then ask you, could you come and join me? I'm going to ask everyone in the room, please, just for the sake of everybody else, if something that I've said to you about needing a fresh start, needing to come into the gate, needing to be forgiven from your past and wanting a fresh hope, if you'll put your trust in Jesus today, he will not disappoint you. He won't. He's never disappointed me in 58 years of my life. Never, not once. Will you do it? Will you do it today? On this special day, we've dedicated a child to God. Would you become like a little child and take the hand of God, take the hand of Jesus, just as we saw as Shirley and Albie walking earlier? Would you do it today? And if you would, without anybody else looking, would you just raise your hand? And if you're at home today, you can connect with people online. Would you want to do that today? Anybody in the room? Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? This is a choice that you make. We live by our choices, we die by our choices. Lord, I thank you for that precious young lady. I pray, Lord, that today this will be a new start, a fresh start, where she can just move forward with you in a very special way, that she would know you as a Lord and Saviour and as a friend. In Jesus' name. Amen.